Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As long as the Old Testament is, as filled as the Old Testament is with countless characters, as many centuries as it covers, as many stories as the Old Testament weaves together, despite how complicated and difficult the Old Testament might seem to be, the Old Testament has a very simple storyline. A very basic plot. The Old Testament is a story that is built around two major events, just two. Two defining experiences. The first half of the Old Testament is built around the experience of the Exodus. About the story of how God chose the Hebrews and sends Moses to deliver the Hebrews from slavery in Egypt. And then delivers them out of bondage, and then begins that journey to the promised land. This is the Exodus, the story of the birth of Israel as the chosen people of God. And so most of the first half of that very big book, the Old Testament, most of the first half is taken up either in events that lead up to the Exodus, or it explores what happens after the Israelites finally make their way to the promised land. But if the first half of the Old Testament is all about Exodus, the second half of the Old Testament is all about exile. Israel received so much from God, but then lost it all. The great kingdom of Israel under David and Solomon, it slowly fell apart, fell into rebellion, and it was only a matter of time before the great conquerors to the north came and destroyed the Israelites. And not only were the Israelites conquered, they were deported. They were enslaved once again by foreign kings in a foreign land, a land that was definitely not their own. First, the Israelites in the north, they were exiled into Assyria. And later, the Israelites in the south were conquered and exiled to Babylon. The Babylonian captivity itself lasted almost 70 years. And it was brutal, very brutal. If the Exodus was glorious, exile was traumatic. Today and for the next three Sundays, the church appoints the singing of a very special psalm, Psalm 137. It's supposed to be sung during Matins of Sunday. We don't celebrate Matins on Sunday. So instead, it is our tradition at St. Nicholas to sing this particular psalm during clergy communion, that period right before the chalice comes out. We'll hear it a little bit later. There's actually a copy of it on the back of your bulletin if you have that. If you've sung in the choir, you're familiar with it. This is a psalm that was actually sung by Israel while they were held captive in Babylon. It tells us how it felt to be in exile. It's one of the most disturbing psalms in the Bible because of the violent hatred with which it ends. But just listen and get a sense. By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and there we wept. We wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there, we hung up our harps. For there our captives, demanded of us words of a song. They who led us away said, sing to us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the song of the Lord in a strange land? If I forget you ever, O my Jerusalem, let my right hand be forgotten. Let my tongue also cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my joy. Remember, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, raise it, raise it even to the foundation thereof. Daughter of Babylon, you are to be destroyed. Blessed is he who requites you with what you have done to us. Blessed is he who shall take and dash your little ones against the stone. Very, very powerful. And so on this Sunday, the Sunday of the Prodigal Son, as we prepare for the beginning of Great Lent, The church reminds us that what is true of Israel is true of each and every human being. For Israel, exile was an historical event. It's something that happened in the past. For us, exile is a spiritual reality. For you and for me and for every human being, exile is our spiritual condition. On the one hand, we were not created to live that way. We were created to live life as an heir to the household of the loving Father. But like the prodigal son, we decided to live apart from God, to live life on our own terms, to leave the house of the Father, to live in a far country filled ultimately with pig food. We chose to try to be at home in a world full of fear, envy, greed, hatred, hurt, falsehood. But instead of finding a replacement for the Father's house, we find what the prodigal son found. We find a pig pen. What did we do? Did we say, you know what, this is ridiculous. Even the servants of my Father's house, they live better than this. Did we say, no, you know what, we should really hoof it back. We should get out of here. Give my loving Father another chance. We don't do that. We typically just hold our noses, we turn down the lights, we put up some curtains, and we say, in the pig pen, home sweet home. But life in a far country is not so sweet. It's not so sweet. We've chosen to love this world, and so we are now alienated from the life of God. And maybe like the prodigal son, we realize it. Maybe. Maybe like the prodigal son, we realize it. Or maybe like the older brother, we don't. We don't realize it. Either like the younger brother, we will say, as Scripture says, we will come to ourselves. We will remember the house of the Father and be filled with a desire to go home again. Or we will be like the older brother. We will not think about what the Father offers, but will think only about what we have and why we don't have more. On this third Sunday of preparation for Great Lent, the church gives us these two brothers and tells us that in the season of repentance ahead, you and I are given the opportunity to become either like the one during Lent or like the other, to realize that we are indeed in exile, or to simply continue coping with life apart from the riches that God desires to give us. During Great Lent, either our eyes will be opened and we will realize that we are the prodigal son, that we satisfy ourselves too often with food for pigs, that we have forsaken the house of the Father for life in a strange and foreign land. Or we will become more like the older brother. We will grow more and more unfeeling, more and more unmoved by God's love. We will become more and more convinced that nothing is wrong with us and that something is wrong with everyone else. Father Alexander Schmemann, his great book on Great Lent, it is a great book, it's also on Great Lent, he writes that you cannot understand what Christianity is about unless you have first felt, even if only for a little bit, that you are exiled from God, you are exiled from real life. In his own words, unless you first feel, quote, wounded by the nostalgic desire for another reality. Until you have felt wounded by the nostalgic desire for another reality, we do not understand what Christianity is about. We don't understand it until we first, like the prodigal son, realize we've tried to be happy in a far country, one that is so very far removed from the house of the Father. We have tried, but we feel that we have failed, and that there's something better out there that we've left behind. Once we understand this, though, once we have this feeling, even if only for a little bit, says Father Schmemann, this feeling of being separated from something really good, something so much better than life in the pig pen, once we have this feeling, then we are able to understand what Christianity is all about. I mentioned at the beginning that the Old Testament, as long as it is, the Old Testament is about Israel's two great experiences. The experience first of Exodus, and the experience second of exile. The New Testament, the gospel of our Christian faith, brothers and sisters, is very similar, but the order is reversed. I told you how to read the Old Testament, and I'm going to tell you how to read the New Testament. Second lesson is free. Right? In the Old Testament, there's the movement from Exodus to exile. In the New Testament, there's first the experience of exile, then later there's the experience of Exodus. In the gospel, Christ comes to us in our exile, and he calls us to repentance. He calls to us to return. Like Zacchaeus, he calls us down from our trees and says, "Make haste, for this day I must stay with you." Jesus Christ doesn't leave us in the pig pen. He comes and he finds us there. And he helps us to remember the house of the Father. And he calls us, and this is the most important thing, he calls us to join him, to unite ourselves to him. And he does this so that he might carry us back to the house of the Father. He carries us on his shoulders through Holy Week and to the cross so that with him we might move from exile to Exodus. Jesus Christ is our Exodus. As we sing after communion, Jesus Christ is our great and most holy Pascha. He is our true Passover. That's what Pascha means. For Jesus Christ passes from life to death back to life again. And either like the prodigal son, we are with him so that his exodus becomes our exodus, so that his passage from death to life becomes our passage from death to life. Or like the older brother, we are blind to the fullness of God's love for each and every one of us. This day, brothers and sisters, the church reminds us that Great Lent is a journey home. It's a journey home, a journey out of exile, a journey out of a far country, a journey that will lead us back to the house of the Father. It will be our true exodus, our great and most holy Pascha, our passage from death to life, our exodus from slavery to freedom enjoyed by all who are children of the loving Father. That Father who watches for us, who cannot wait to run to us, to embrace us, and to shout, "This, my son, was lost, but now he's found." Jesus Christ comes to us this day, and he says to you, and he says to me, "You are a child of the house of the Father, and it's time to go home." Amen.